gets him back to Craven Park. The dust settling on Hulkington Rovers, a 54-24 win over the Bradford Bulls. Gary Schofield, Rugby League Hall of Famer, is still there. And Scully, we said pre-match, the bookies had the handicap at 34. And Bradford have covered it this afternoon. They'll be pleased with that, I'm sure.
They will indeed, mate, yes. And I say, I never expected it, to be honest with you. And certainly when you looked at the boss sheets, when you looked at the team sheets and the quality of what Hulkington Rovers have got, and we all know exactly what's happened to the Bradford Bulls before this season started. And I say, no, I didn't think it would be there, but won't be for sure here, Richard. I say, these Bradford Bulls players, and I say, all the coaching staff, and I say, who've come here this afternoon, the commitment, the effort, and the enthusiasm of what they have shown, won't be for sure here. If they show that week in and week out, well, they will not be any pushovers, and they have been a credit to their club this afternoon, these players.
Of course, they needed to get on the board quick, didn't they? And they scored early in the game and got rid of a bit of nervous, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. And I say they did that, and Ulkiala put a bit of pressure on early doors, and then I say the great defence from the Bulls. And once they got themselves in good field position, and I say the smartness and the vision and awareness of Jordan Lee, the creator of that first try, and then the big man himself, they didn't want to tackle him in Leon Kirk, and he said, I'll put the first 4 points of the afternoon. But overall, and I say the Bulls, the fans to our left in many of numbers in the hundreds, they would have been delighted with the effort what they've shown. And as I said in commentary, the best form of advertisement is the word of mouth. And if these fans go back and say what sort of effort and commitment they've got, and a little bit of that quality they've got, hopefully the Bulls fans will come flocking back and create a great atmosphere also.
You also assume that they'll still be adding more players to that squad as the weeks go on as well.
Well, you'd like to think so, because as we all know, they've got that minus 12 deficit, and even now, relegation is staring them in the face. But if they get a bit more quality and added to that, as I've mentioned plenty of time this afternoon, the effort and commitment and enthusiasm, then who knows, the Bulls may survive. It's a long, hard season, a long season, but who knows, if they get that quality, then as I say, it won't be for lack of effort and commitment.
For Hull KR then, 30 point win this afternoon. I guess it's always going to be a tricky game, in the sense that Bradford go there with nothing to lose. Hull KR, all the expectation is they batter Bradford, and in a sense, I guess both teams come out with a bit of credit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a bit of credit. And, it's me, myself and Craig, we were begging to differ regarding who would be the happiest of the coaches. I reckon the Bulls would be a bit. But Craig reckons, Tim Sheens would be happy with a 54. Won't be happy conceding 24. But, some very, very good points for Ulkiala. But for mine, at times, they were just a little bit too much around the ruck area. Once they decided to let the ball go a little bit wider from that ruck area and give the ball to Minns and Heffernan, they were causing all sorts of problems. But, Tim Sheens, hit out, as I guess you could say, maybe a brand new side compared to last year, because there's plenty of people who have come in and a few left from what happened last year. So Sheens, I would say team performance maybe 6 out of 10 from that. The Bulls coaching staff, they would be up between 8 and 9, I would imagine, from there. But Tim Sheens, pretty happy enough, but plenty to work on, I would imagine.
We have, we always seem to be negative at times, but I think we can say the whole day today at KCOM Craven Park, it's now called, starting with those brilliant tributes which came across so well to Colin Hutton, and ending with a great game of rugby league, an exciting game of rugby league, and nearly 9,000 people there for a second division game. It's been a good day for rugby league in the East of Hull.
Oh, it has. It's been a great game. And they're saying, to be honest with you here, the Bradford Bulls fans are just, Ralph Rimmer to have my left here, he's just saying, it was a great effort, commitment. And the Bulls fans are saying, thank you very much for all your help. Well, we all know what help they've got a little bit. But, you've mentioned that. Great atmosphere. 8,600 people here. We all know a lot. And I say, we Colin Hutton passed away, the tribute, what they're given from there. But I tell you what, most Super League side have been happy with this sort of crowd here. Hulkington Rovers fans, they'll go on pretty happy. They know they're there to be knocked down week in and week out. They're expected to run away with this league, and I say 54 points, they'll be pretty happy.
I think some Super League clubs would be happy with half that little 8,500, dearie me. So a great start for Hull KR. Plenty of positives to take out of it for the Bradford Bulls. I'm sure we'll get some comment from their coaches afterwards. Obviously, you haven't seen any of the other four games this afternoon, but London are a team who have been tipped to challenge Hull KO at the start of this season, and they had to come from a deficit against Swinton Lies this afternoon. So some great battling quality shown by London.
Yeah, it was, and say what I think what we said all pre-season regarding Andrew Henderson, he's got players there now who want to put that shirt on and want to show that commitment, and when it does come to the nitty gritty and at times where we have to go to these grounds and grind out a win, and that's exactly what they've done there. And I say again, I mentioned it a hell of a lot now, never mind this word culture, Richard, to be honest with you. When you've got the sort of team spirit, that's what it's all about there, and that's what Andrew Henderson has brought to this London side. And
oh, Gary's disappeared. I reckon someone's unplugged him at the KCOM Craven Park Stadium. I don't know if we'll be rejoining Gary or not, because I don't know if he knows how to plug in the ISDN thing. So maybe we'll be rejoining Gary in a few moments. Maybe we won't be. Stay tuned and find out after the news. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a good time if you are going to disappear to go right when it's news time. So we'll head there. Maybe we'll be back with Gary. Maybe we won't. Stay tuned. There's plenty more to come on Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. And Gary Schofield's back with us.
Well, I don't know about how you managed to do it, but what it was, our link was just further down and somebody's unplugged it, and as you know, you've got a phone back in. So I had to get Craig Murdoch from the press conference. So Craig has got to sort it out. So let's crack on, Richie.
We were talking about London Broncos, and Michael tweeted in saying, why do you get cut off when you're appraising London?
Oh, well, unfortunately, but now I'm back. Now I'm back, and I say, we've mentioned Selly a few times on the radio shows, what we do on a Monday night, how Andrew Henderson now has turned that club around and the spirit what they've got, and I say the victory what they had. They may not have got that last year or the year before because, as I say, the team spirit, what's in there now, and as I say, what Andrew Henderson, they've made him a club, Richie. That's what they have done, and they've got high ups this year, so there'll be plenty of praise from London this year from me. Don't worry about that, you London fans.
Well, they've picked up a win at Swinton, which is when I was a tough place to go. Not winners this afternoon, and I don't know, you seem too gleeful about this Dewsbury Rams result.
Oh, I tell you.
46-0.
Oh, Richie, can I not wait to see my son later on this evening, because he was absolutely giving it to me from Friday, because they were bringing in four Wakefield players, you know, on this dual reds, and I said, all right then, we will see, son. As he knows, he wasn't very happy when I tipped Rochdale to beat him by seven in my column this week. And did you know what Richie says? The coaching staff were in the coach's office on Friday night, and they was going to give me a personal call to say I was wrong. I'll tell you what, Richie, when I get home, I can't wait to knock on his door and ask what sort of pathetic excuses he's got, because, and I say, he was buzzing that they was going to beat Rochdale today, but take nothing away from Rochdale. What a great win. They have put a marker down that they want to be a serious side in this championship this year. And also, not just the fact of scoring 40-odd points, but keeping Dewsbury to nothing, because, you know, they've got a little bit of class in that side. They like to score points. I tell you what, big problems for now for Glenn Morrison. Bit of pressure on there, Rich.
Yeah, not an ideal start at all. Also not an ideal start for Sheffield, who obviously had a poor year in 2016, starting with a defeat 26-10 at Oldham.
Yes, and I tipped Oldham to beat them as well. And a little Dicky Bird has told me as well, in our great work colleague in Matt Wilson, he's told me that Sheffield have been reading what I've been saying about Sheffield, and they're using that as motivation. What Scully's saying about that it's going to be a poor season. I'll tell you what, Scully's not always wrong, Richie. Scully's not always wrong, and this is going to be a long, hard season for Sheffield. We all know the problems what they've got. They're moving to a different ground and playing for Wakefield. Different sort of environment, but let's take nothing away from Oldham. Great start, and the Oldham fans give me a bit of stick by saying they may finish in the second bottom, like Scott Naylor as a coach, like their chairman Chris Hamilton. Great start for Oldham, big problems for Sheffield.
You've not been promised a free lunch at Oldham as well, have you?
Oh, Richie, don't you be getting like Matt Wilson, please. Come on, Richie. Hey?
If we just take a brief look ahead for Sheffield next week, they've got Toulouse next week. You know, we know Toulouse, obviously, yesterday winners against Batley. I don't know what time that game kicks off next week, because it says on the Sheffield Eagles website 3 o'clock, but I think you'll find Wakefield and Hull are kicking off.
Yeah, Wakefield, they're kicking off, aren't they? Yeah, they're kicking off at 3, so they must be the curtain raiser or the double header, as what they rename it now. But Toulouse, great victory against Batley. You know, all the noises coming out of Batley is that Matt Diskin has certainly made an impression on his players. Boy, oh boy, can't be that good of an impression, can it, when you look at that scoreline? But Toulouse, the big question for them, it's exactly the same as with Catalans, what they're going to be like on the road. But I tell you what, it's been a great start, because we know Batley last year, great season what they had. Can they you know, get where they want to get, keep that sort of consistency going? But I tell you what, Toulouse, they'll be looking forward to playing Sheffield next week.
Well, Batley have got almost a target on their back now, haven't they?
They have.
That, because they had that great season last year, people are going to say, well, if they can do it, so can we as a semi-pro club. And next week they've got Halifax, who sounds like they were unlucky today against Fenison Rovers, 32-26 to Fev, but an important result for Fev, who of course are going to be one of the teams challenging for the top four again.
Absolutely, they want to be in that top four again. And Fev, but I tell you what, when you looked at all the fixture lists this week in the Championship, Richie, you know, there were some cracking fixtures, weren't they? And we didn't expect them to be, you know, some of the high scoring game we got. I didn't expect to lose to beat Batley, to be honest. But yeah, Ulkinson Rovers here to beat Bradford, but I didn't expect Bradford with the performance what they've got. So that's been outstanding. Fev in Halifax, cracking game. Oldham there, and London coming back showing spirit. So yeah, there's been some cracking fixes, and the games themselves, I tell you what, this has been for mine, when you look, and certainly the scorelines there and the reports what are coming back, this has been a cracking weekend for the Championship. And we've seen a cracking game of rugby league here this afternoon. But yeah, Feverson, high hopes. Halifax, yeah, they've got high hopes, but I don't think they'll be too down on that performance, because Sheffield at Feverson have bought pretty well, and say they're going to be, yeah, hopefully going to be right up there.
Well, next week it's Batley, Halifax, Bradford, Rochdale, Dewsbury, Swinton, Featherstone, Oldham, London, Hull, KR. Oh, that'd be a belter. And Sheffield versus Toulouse. So again, another interesting week.
But the big thing about it as well, Rich, is that they're all competitive fixes, aren't they? You know, And I say, as we all know, when we look at what the bookies put there, you know, the for and the against and what have you. You know, at times these are very, very attractive fixes. And I tell you what, one thing for sure in the Championship, there's no easy games, is there?
Oh no! So when I was doing launch of the season on Thursday, I kept saying, "Oh well, you've got a tough fix this week," but hey, they're all tough.
They're all tough.
Same questions.
They are indeed. They are all tough. And I say, and at the end of the day, you know, Rich, you just said there, you know, maybe the same old boring questions, but they're not boring questions, because what the coaches do realise is, and what they want from their players is quite simple. We need to be playing the best, bringing our A game week in and week out. Because if they don't, Richie, it's quite simple. If you've got dual registration players in your side or not, you're going to get turned over, as Dewsbury have found out today. And I can't wait to get back to my house tonight and have a couple of words with that son of mine. He gave me plenty.
You're not going to fall out with him like you fall out with Sean Wayne.
Richie, when he found out, when I said to him, I've got my column this week and I've tipped Ropshill to beat you by 7, he went ballistic. But to tell you what, I'm going to be the one who's smiling tonight, Richie, son. I am indeed.
When one feels that, you always end up somehow smiling in the end. I don't know. We know you're entering in. We're entering you into the media tipping competition.
I am indeed. Yeah, I'm in the media tipping. I was with Matt Horton last night. We had a great night with Mark Wilson last night at Sheffield Dogs. It was his wonderful.
Hang on, Matt Horton's here.
Go on, Scoy, tell him how many winners you had.
Oh, well, a couple more than what you had, Matt, lad. Yeah, it wasn't a very good night for yourself, but it was a great night. I'd say Mark Wilson organised a special night for his should I call her young lady? She's 45, so should I tell her about ladies on her? She's 45. I wouldn't say she's a young lady, would you, to be honest with you? I guess that might get me my Peter 45 from Mark Wilson, even his missus.
Well, I don't know, you get a slap from her. I don't know about anything.
But it was a great night by everybody, and enjoyed the well, first time I've ever been to the Dogs.
On Facebook this afternoon, a lot of people have been commenting about the loud Hull woman at Craven Park.
Oh, she's always there.
I'm pleased to say we're now joined by our own loud Hull woman.
Hello.
Karen Horton.
Well, Karen Horton, to be honest with you, she doesn't need to be the Dogs to be a little bit loud. How are you, Kate? Do you know what as well, Matt and Karen? I took a rugby ball last night for Rod Studd, because he's going to get it signed by me, all the PDC darts players.
Still under the table?
Yeah, we left it there.
You planked.
Left it there. You know, he's going to get it signed for me, because I'm doing a big charity function for Jimmy Dalton up in Cumbria on June the 3rd, and bloody well left it there. So,
I'm sure he'll be able to sort you out a dartboard.
Oh yeah, he said he's going to sort me out a dartboard. But if there's any sponsors out there that want to give me a couple of rugby league balls, I would very much appreciate it.
We could have asked Tony Colquitt at the launch on Thursday, couldn't we?
I wanted to go see Mr. Flaherty if he'd give me some money, but well, we'll let you go back into the warm of Craven Park, see if there's any sandwiches left in the press room.
Sandwiches?
Hey, Richie, no, I'm just going to tell you, total cutbacks in the media room now. Where it used to be pie, pie and chips.
What did you get today?
Unfortunately now, it's a cup of soup and one bread roll. That's all it is. You'll be delighted. You'll be delighted at being a black and white fan kind of my love, won't you?
That's made me chortle. Yeah,
anyway, to be fair, that's exactly like being at the UK concert.
That's what we got there. Anyway, Karen, if you don't mind, how old are you? Come on, tell us live on air. How old are you, our darling?
I was 44 at Christmas.
44 at Christmas. You don't look a day older. Okay, love.
You wait till I next see you.
Love you to bits, guys. You know that. Love you to bits. Can't wait to see you soon.
You certainly will.
It's because I've been watching too much Reunion.
You've been there today, Matt. How did
it
go?
There's a try within the first few seconds.
They scored within a minute and had a bonus point in the bag by 12 minutes gone. They scored four tries in the first 12 minutes, then it just all went downhill. But
who were they playing?
Rotherham.
All right, right, okay. Say no more then. Let's move on.
Carry on.
Let's move on.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to ask you now, Gary, because obviously you're in the media tipping competition, despite the fact you don't have email, because you are.
Despite the fact he doesn't. I need tips from him as well, but
you'll get him in the you'll lead him in the League Express every week.
I'll email them to you.
Hey, Richie. Yes. Well, I'll tell you who I've tipped to this week. As we all know, with Super League kicks off with that cracking fix with Leeds and Saints. So this week I've gone for Leeds. I've gone for Leeds by 7, and that'll be going to be a belting game on Friday. I can't wait for that one. Castleford and Lane. I think I've gone for Castleford on that one by 12. I've gone for Wigan to beat Salford by 10. And I've gone for Warrington to hammer Catalans. I've gone for the Black and Whites to beat Wakefield by 7. And I've gone for Huddersfield to beat Widnes by 7, I think, as well. So that's mine for this week. So all the fans will be coming on now. You don't know what you're talking about anyway. Your predictions are wrong. So we're happy that you haven't tipped our team to win.
How many have you tipped Warrington by, Scully?
I think about 20, I think.
That's okay. I'll take that.
20.
And then tomorrow night, Scully, when you're here, give Richie 1 to 12 and 1 to 4, and I'll get him to email them over for you.
You're confusing me now, Matt. Listen, I'm a lad from Belial. I've had to say that today.
Scully, you need to pick where every team's going to finish in Super League. So, say, Warrington first and Huddersfield last, and then you need to pick the top four in the Championship as well. And the grand final winner.
You're hard work, Matt Horton. You're hard. It's easy asking your young lady what age she is. It's easy. That's easy, isn't it?
I know that.
Other people, you can listen to other radio stations, listen to some rubbish, but we've Rich, got our own rubbish.
Yeah, Rich, we've got Craig Murdoch back. You want to see what the press conference, what the coach have been happy?
Well, first of all, Craig, who was the Bradford representative in the press conference?
It wasn't Jeff Tilbury.
Who's coaching Bradford at the moment?
The kit man.
pass. I've never seen such an animated spectator who wasn't coaching than Jeff Tilbury this afternoon, jumping up and down and banging on the dugout and stuff. But no, technically he's still not in charge, is he? So.
What did the coaches say, if anything of interest?
I have emailed them, mate. Maybe I've not got them yet, so you may be able to listen to them, play them. But yeah, just... I think everybody's happy, as Scully and I alluded to in commentary. I think, Bradford, obviously not happy with the result, but the commitment that the guy's shown, and, they're a bit underdone, not had the season, and I think average age of about 20. They're real happy with their guys had a dig. And Tim Sheens he said the occasion was a great occasion. I don't know if it's true or not, but he said a record crowd for the Championship today of 8,600 and whatever it was, so... He said that was good because it hopefully gets him more money in the coffers to spend. But yeah, he was happy. A couple of injuries. Thomas Mims, a hamstring. Greenwood, a dead leg. But I think Greenwood, nothing to worry about. Mims probably misses a couple of weeks. But yeah, he's happy to get the first game out the way. And the performance he was happy with as well. Said a little bit rusty, but they'll get better. He said all along that they're going to be a work in progress and they will improve as the season goes on. And he just reiterated that today. Really said happy with the 2 points. Stuff to work on. They will get better.
Excellent stuff. Craig, Gary, you go in and get yourself warm, because I know you were saying it was getting cold there as the game went on. Fantastic commentary this afternoon, very entertaining as ever. And we shall we'll see you, Gary, tomorrow night. And Craig, I'm sure you'll be back with us again soon, if not next weekend. So I don't know what the plans are.
No, me neither, but I hope so. Yes, speak to you.
Looking forward to seeing all the boys tomorrow. Looking forward to tomorrow night's show, Rich. Cheers.
Cheers, Gary Schofield and Craig Murdoch there, live from KCOM Craven Park. People think, you know, this is planned, but no, we don't know what we're doing.
No, we don't.
I'm going to clue.
I've just seen the results, Rich.
Obviously you've been out, so you haven't seen
them. I've been otherwise entertained, and I'm very surprised at Dewsbury getting slapped by Rochdale, and I'm quite surprised Oldham have beat Sheffield after the pre-season they've had as well. Looks like it was entertainment at the MBI Shea as well.
And at wherever Swinton play these days.
Haywood Road.
The former home of Sale.
Well, still is technically the home of Sale FC.
Oh, so, yes. Not the
Sale Sharks variety. Them who we shouldn't really be mentioning.
Well, I don't know. I've not heard about him for a while. You know?
He's not been playing, to be fair.
No, has he not?
No.
Well, I guess England Rugby have got enough non-English rugby league people turning up and scoring for them at the moment.
Ben Teo.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him floating about on Twitter in an
Ireland
shirt.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I think Alex Walmsley retweeted that.
He's loyal then.
Hashtag heritage players.
It's just Rangy Chert all over again.
Roger. Are you excited? New Super League seat?
Yeah,
where
can't
are you
wait.
This weekend?
I'm with Andy Kelly on Thursday night. We're on air at 7, Saints versus Leeds. And then I'm down lane on Friday night.
I think I am.
For Cass against Lee.
Yeah.
And then I don't know about Sunday. I could be at Wakefield versus Hull, depends if I'm needed.
Sheffield to lose.
Well, maybe.
But we don't know what time that kicks off yet, because on Sheffield's website it says 3 o'clock. Which can't be. Unless they could play two games at once.
Because they were 2-4, weren't they, when they did it at Doncaster? Yeah. Doncaster kicked off at 2 and Sheffield kicked off at 4:15, didn't they?
It's not going to be 2-4 at Bellevue. The home of Rugby League, the Beaumont Legal Stadium.
Well, we're definitely 3 o'clock.
Beaumont Legal Stadium.
Is Derek sponsored it?
No, I think it's a different one.
All right.
I've already asked his question. No,
I think one of the big underlying stories of Super League this year is going to be Derek and Marwan's weight loss challenge.
I find those things a bit tedious.
Well, it's all for charity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently, Marwan's shed a couple of stone already, and Derek's lost even more.
It's been surprisingly quiet. I'm sure he'll be...
Give it time. You've just really lit the blue touch paper now, haven't you?
We're going to win on Saturday. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Thursday in Lee?
Food was good.
Nice.
Food was all right.
We went to the launch of the brand new rugby league season, speeches from the great and good. Few jokes that didn't quite work.
Well, there was no jokes in the first couple of speeches. It was just, but we were waiting for him in Ralph's speech. To be fair,
Ralph Rimmer reminds me a little bit of Triple H off the wrestling. Same physique, just a bit more hair.
No, I thought Triple H has longer.
No, he's showed it off now. No, he's an executive.
Right. Oh, he's in it. Oh, right.
Yeah, that's important.
I don't watch wrestling anymore. Those days are long gone. I'll leave that to you and Mr. Maguire.
When I get that old. But what do you think of Thursday?
It wasn't really a launch, was it? It was just Roger Draper and Mark Bolton saying, hello, welcome, this is what's going to happen this year. Here's the players and the coaches, crack on with what you need to do. Yeah. Was that no gorilla bar with big fancy clocks and everything else?
Did you go to that last year?
No.
That was a nonsense. And it was a shambles to get hold of anyone to speak to. At least we spoke to some people this year.
Did you get your jacket?
Yes, I have got my jacket. I've got my very nice, thanks to the sponsors of Super League, I've got a jacket.
Yeah, he was very proud of his jacket when he came home.
I must admit, they are very good sponsors indeed after their support of the tipping competition as
Parker Penn, that was very nice.
The Parker Penn's nice. You've not stuck your hand in my bag yet, have you? And had a look through.
No, I haven't looked in your goodie bag yet.
Two goodie bags, because the laptop bag.
The laptop bag, yeah.
It's got a clipboard in it.
Yes, which I didn't realise till I got back.
I was like, clipboard! I can use that.
Gosh, you two really do need to get a life.
I may be donating my clipboard to someone because I don't really have much use for it.
What else did we get? A lanyard.
A lanyard.
Oh, yeah.
A clip
socks.
Drive.
Socks.
The socks are the best thing in the bag for me.
Yeah.
Seriously, the socks were the best thing in the bag.
I was wearing them yesterday at another place I work as a kind of surreptitious...
Other bookmakers are available.
No, you never.
You can't see my socks, can you? So I wasn't wearing the
camera. That's
brilliant. the memory stick, which had nothing on it. That was good. Yeah. Well, I suppose there was something on it. And a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, the Rubik's. I'm never going to touch that Rubik's cube.
No, but I wonder if that's going to be worth money in the future.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Do people collect Rubik's cubes?
Stashed.
Yeah, you'll have lost it.
I won't.
You won't know where it is.
Especially when I tidy it up. The pen was good. I like the pen. The pen's a nice touch.
And the notebook.
The notebook, yeah.
Do you have any idea how sad you two actually sound? Seriously,
people
guys.
People think, you know, we get into this world of broadcasting for the love but of as, it's for free
but
stuff.
But as we said on Thursday afternoon, it was very disappointing that the Championship sponsors weren't giving any of their product away again.
Kingston Press. You would have quite a bit
more to we haven't said Betfred, and now you mentioned the ones who've actually not given us any.
Can I just say...
Because the thing is, I said to Rich, I said, I hope Kingston Press are giving some stuff away. I can take something home for the wife.
I was going to say, now that is the kind of booty swag that I really could get excited about.
As soon as he found out there wasn't any, he was straight down the 62. Same for dust.
So I'll give you the guy's email address at Betfred, see if you can get a load of socks off him for competition prizes or something like that.
Socks are very, and they're in the right colours as well.
Yes, of the Wakefield Trinity. I nearly said the W word then, didn't I?
Well. I've done as well tonight.
You nearly dropped the W word in there.
Many apologies.
Not that W word since the last time John Davidson was in the studio.
Yeah, he got shouted down for it, didn't he?
Yeah, that was bad times. But he was behaving this week. I don't know who's in the studio with us tomorrow, but 6 to 8. Are you excited, Karen? Obviously, Hull KR started the season today with a win. Hull FC will want to do that next week, won't they?
That was at the home of rugby league.
At the home,
that was very well thing. Yeah, it's about starting strong. For me next week, we know we had a bit of a disappointing end to last season after the euphoria of winning the Challenge Cup, and you know we walked away from Wembley ticking a massive box, yet we still had things that we could have achieved, and we didn't. We serious Challenge Cup hangover, and I think it's about kicking on this year. We've obviously lost Frank. But we've obviously got, you know, a few more acquisitions. We've got Griffin coming, Connor coming, Albert Kelly, which is hopefully going to give us that spark that I think we did miss quite a lot last year. I think a lot of our tries were very much let's push forward and try and get the forwards over, whereas hopefully this year it's going to be about the backs opening up some scooty little gaps and scoring some entertaining tries. In the pre-season friendlies, we've seen little glimpses of that with Albert already. So, yeah, not had the massive pre-season that we would have liked. I know we've won at Donny today, but that was mainly under-23s with a few fringe first-teamers. So it really is neck on the block time next week, I think. I think we've got to start strong.
And what we saw at Wakefield on Boxing Day, and they've performed pretty well pre-season, Wakefield, haven't they? They went down at Dewsbury. That was an under-strength team that went to Dewsbury.
I was very impressed with Wakefield on Boxing Day.
Lost at Featherstone.
Yeah, it was Featherstone they lost that, wasn't it? But it wasn't the strongest team that Chris Chester's put out in pre-season. But, Boxing Day, they were superb at Leeds on Boxing Day.
Very organised, very clinical.
And with plenty of players missing as well.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of Hull fans walked away from Salford very disappointed last week, and a lot of them are a bit worried that maybe we have underdone our pre-season. I know that Radford's made a lot of noise about the fact that he believed we'd burnt out at the end of last season. The problem is, if you are wanting to challenge for the top honours, you do obviously have to play the games. You've got to play all the games. And getting to the Challenge Cup final meant that we didn't actually have a break right through to the end of the season. We just missed out, you know, in the last 10 minutes on a grand final place. So I think the reason why he's played a lot of the younger lads, a lot of the fringe players in the pre-season friendlies, is that he wants to see how those lads step up. He wants to be rotating more and actually keeping the big lads like Scotty Taylor, Gareth Ellis, who is another year older, bless him, those kind of players a bit fresh as it comes to the end of the season, which could prove critical.
And, of course, Hull have got the best away kit in the Super League in 2017.
The brightest, maybe. I'm not sure about the best.
Oh, there's some terrible ones.
You'll see us coming.
St Helens, for a start. Awful kit.
You see, it's all a bit different this year, and I'll be honest, I'm going to go a bit Tony Smith now, because the way that the actual league is structured and the way it's being played this year, it's different because you think now, yes, everybody prepares for one Easter, and you always know that the two weeks after, you play the three games in the 7 days maybe. It's not those three games that are the problem. It's the one after that. But that will run into losing your players to go to Australia to go for a mid-season test against Samoa. Get your players back, magic weekend, and then there's another of those double weekends. So you're going to be looking from the start of April, from like the 7th of April, which is the week before Easter, isn't it? Everybody plays on that 7th of April, and you're looking at those 8 weeks up to June. Your teams could have their season wrecked in that 8 weeks.
Yeah.
By either A, picking up injuries out of Easter on the three games in 7 days thing, and then losing players to go to Australia to play for England, and then having to back into another double weekend. I don't know if anybody else has mentioned it or it's come up on a Monday night, but those 10 weeks, you could pick up a load of injuries. And speaking to Tony and to Dennis Betts on Thursday in Widnes, and kind of differently to Scott Morrell afterwards, it takes you so. I don't think, if you've got a shallow squad this year, you're going to struggle. If you've not got many players in your squad who are of decent Super League quality, you're really going to struggle. And the teams with the smaller squads will struggle.
Well, I'm just looking at my calendar, and in the 2 months of April and May, Hull have 6 games in April, and 5 games in May. So that's 11 games in that 2 month period, which is a lot. It's a lot for them.
If you think about it, it's half a season in 8 weeks.
Welfare.
Play what? Oh, play what? We don't
yeah,
there,
well.
But it's like, hey, it's half a season in 8 weeks.
Yeah, and it's a massive ask. I mean, I think Hull went into Easter quite good last year in that we went to Rovers and, you know, we only played 20 minutes of that game, so that was all right. But then you've got, if you look at our squads, the actual squads from Good Friday to Easter Monday at home to Warrington, we actually rested quite a few of our Good Friday. And it's not that we underestimated Warrington at all, but we appreciated the fact that it was a tough turnaround. And we actually beat Warrington that day. Now, whether that was down to young lads wanting to prove themselves, fresher legs, I don't know, but it worked. And I think this is where, as you say, the teams with the smaller squads will struggle because they haven't got the ability to do that. Those with the larger squads and, touch wood, you know, less injuries, then hopefully they'll have the ability to do that for the two double weekends that we have got coming up.
How are Warrington going to get on, Matt? Because obviously, 2017.
Always their year, Rich.
It is their year. It is their year, 2017.
Always their year, Rich.
I've tipped them, so even more so. In fairness, I couldn't work. You know, it's such a difficult competition to tip who's going to win this year. Anyway.
Fortunately, the first part of the tipping competition, you're only picking on 23 weeks, so it's. I don't know. It's all about how. I mean, Warrington were a lot stronger than last year. If you think they've lost Ryan Bailey and they've lost Mitch Dodds out of the pack, but they've brought in Mike Cooper, Andre Savelio, and Dominic Crosby, then. They've kind of traded up in the pack. They're a lot stronger. Yes, Chris Sandor's gone. I don't think it's the worst thing that's ever happened to Warrington.
We said before, haven't we, Tony Smith's comments after he left didn't seem to say, oh no, I'm gutted he's gone, in the same way that Leeds are with Segiyama.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll play a different way with Kevin Brown in at half-back and Kurt Gidley. The only thing that kind of worries me a little bit is last year Gidley played down the left and Brown tends to play down the left for Widnes, down the left at Widnes. So it depends what they've got planned, doesn't it? You don't know yet. They were very disappointing to lose to Huddersfield on Wednesday night in the testimonial for Ben Harrison, and Tony was a bit nonplussed about it. He just said, "Oh yeah, things didn't go our way last night," and I worry about Huddersfield. I don't think they're going to do a lot better than last year. I don't think the squad's big enough. They've not really recruited much in, have they, if you think about it?
From Bradford.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. They've only recruited Dale Ferguson, Paul Clough. They've recruited a lot from Bradford. They've recruited from a championship club. How's that improving your squad? No offence to Paul Clough, Dale Ferguson,
you know,
and whoever else.
Huddersfield are favourites against Widnes on Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Witness are another team that, especially without Kevin Brown.
And without Joe Miller.
And
as
without
well at
Joe
the moment,
Miller, yeah, they're going to struggle as well, I think.
Witness are going to struggle. I think the first 6 weeks will determine Witness's season when they're without Miller. Because they're going to have to play Danny Craven and Tom Gilmore at halfback. And they're going to struggle. They really are going to struggle. They've lost Manuka for 2 weeks with the ban for the Matt Smith incident. And they've got Chris Dean isn't going to play for about the first month of the season. So Widnes are really struggling injury-wise.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I've got the championship table here. Because I heard on the radio last night they said, oh, Scotland, they're top of the Six Nations after they won a game. I thought, well, hang on, you can't do the Six Nations table after a game. But Rochdale are top of the championship, ahead of Toulouse. So the two teams promoted from League One, top of the table. Then come Hull, Kiara and Oldham. I think we'll see one of those in the top four at the end of the season. Maybe two.
Two of them, I would think.
So Rochdale and Oldham. Ha ha ha. Bradford still bottom on minus 12. And then obviously working your way back up on points.
Not on the publicly funded website where they're on 0 points.
Shall I screenshot that and tweet them? #UNew.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick. You know, the BBC sports editor follows me on Twitter. I'm going to be in trouble if he sees all this stuff. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do.
Who is the BBC sports editor?
Dan Rowan.
Oh, Dan Rowan, yeah. I think I follow him on Twitter.
I don't follow him, he follows me.
All right. I think I follow him, though.
Annoying them about their own Twitter feed, but there you go. Anyway, they claim to be your rugby league station, but you know that we are the home of rugby league, who aren't afraid to have an opinion and stuff.
And who don't play brass band music at 2 o'clock on a Sunday when you can be building up to kick off.
Talk about rugby league, 3 live games in full this weekend, and you're at St Helens, there you go.
So yes, me and Andy Kelly.
That'd be a good start to the season.
Me and Andy Kelly. I don't know who's doing Witness on Friday.
No idea. But now I'm at Cass. That's what I do now.
So I'm at Cass as well.
I will see you there.
Save me a piece of pie. Are you coming to Cass on Friday?
Yeah, I might do.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's going to be a sell-out crowd for Castleford versus. Our doorbell's not loud enough, is it?
No. Definitely not.
I shall let you go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'd ask you some kind of question to round.
We're in no rush.
I'm going to play Brian McDermott in a minute, but I'll let you sit there and then enjoy yourself while I play some adverts. Because I think you pay some bills.
Okay.
Fair enough.